The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We continue our budget analysis now because Danny McCoy is still with me, the CEO of IBEC, joined by a columnist with Sunday Independent, Conor Skeehan, and by Catherine Flanagan, who is a director with the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation and CEO of Visitor Experiences and Attractions. You're all very, very welcome. Conor and Catherine, before I come to you, Danny, I just want to ask you about, because you kind of brought it up tangentially a couple of times there before the break, which was about investment in public services. So what did we learn on that front from today's budget, if anything?
I guess the big one for business is the National Training Fund, given that 1% of all PRSI from employers goes into this fund and building a surplus being building. The announcement that over the next 6 years will be released and heavily skewed into the third level education system. I think that's necessary funding, particularly on the capital piece, because some of the equipment in our university is about 15 years old, so it could be anywhere near state of the art. And if going back to that point, a lot of the largesse that we're dealing with today is coming from the business context, the corporate tax revenue. In order to try and keep the future golden goose going, even notwithstanding the idea of windfalls, we really have to reinvest back in our education. And then in the enterprise level training, you know, it was never going to be the case we could release all that surplus at one time. You just flood the market, the quality of training and so on wouldn't match the kind of money. I think injection of this kind of money is very good in the public services. But there's the issue then about hiring, and the state's still up against it. The private sector doesn't look like it's slowing down anytime soon. And in order to get those public services delivered, they're going to be in a labour market that still remains pretty hot.
Yeah, because so, there was lots of announcements today about extra money to recruit guards and extra money to recruit SNAs and extra money to recruit nurses and extra money to recruit teachers. But it's easy to announce money to recruit people. It's kind of the difficulty, and we've seen that with the Gardaí over the last year, has been actually recruiting them.
Absolutely, and they're very hard jobs. And there are a lot of easier ways to make money. So there has to be a viewpoint of, if we really value it, are we willing as a society to pay the premium to get the right people in the right places to provide the public services?
Catherine, what stood out from your own industry, from the tourism industry point of view, today's budget?
What stood out for me about tourism was the invisibility of tourism. I had to scroll down a very long way through Minister Pascal Donoghue's speech to find the word tourism, and there was a single line mention of it. So that's a little bit concerning. Immediately above it, he had referred to agritourism as the largest indigenous industry. Tourism and hospitality employ more than 100,000 more than agritourism does, agri-food does. So that really stood out.
Agritourism. I was reading about people glamping down in West Cork this morning on a farm, but I don't think that's what you meant.
No, I have tourism on the brain, so apologies for misspeaking there. But it just really struck me that that tourism really didn't have the visibility in the budget that we thought that it would have, despite extensive lobbying by tourism and hospitality interests. And we just don't feel that we were heard in this budget. It was good to see the budgets for Fáilte Ireland and Tourism Ireland announced at 226 million. We don't really have visibility on how that's going to break down. But apart from that, I suppose the concessions that we were looking for weren't achieved.
And the main concession being the reduction in VAT.
The reduction in VAT would certainly have gone a long way towards making tourism and hospitality businesses more competitive.
And it was a kind of a very visible campaign that was run over the last little while. But what was your sense from government as to how open they were?
There was the sense that there has been resistance over the last couple of years from successive ministers for finance, but there was a good deal of positivity coming from Minister Peter Burke, who had been very receptive to the idea. We think that really it would have been a fairly easy win in terms of there substantial giveaways being discussed in this budget. The 9% VAT rate on energy bills was extended, and yet bringing it to 9% for tourism wasn't achieved in this budget, despite us being an outlier in Europe at 13.5% at the moment.
Conor Skeehan, different adjectives being used. Giveaway budget is probably the most common I've heard today. What adjective would you use?
Just unbelievable.
Unbelievable budget.
The amounts of public money that we are spending are a cascade. I mean, can you imagine being Rachel Reeves looking across the pond at our financial and our fiscal situations this morning? It is an embarrassment of riches. And the real embarrassment is not the amount of money. The real embarrassment is we're like a bunch of people standing around a tiny motor car with all these fuel cans, and we can't pour enough fuel into the tiny engine of the tiny car. And nobody is addressing the fact that all of the structures that deliver the things that you're talking about with infrastructure, that you're talking about with the energy, with water, and indeed with the basic governance, they're not there. We haven't put any money into building the engine itself. And that's the real tragedy, is what we are not talking about, the dog that is not barking.
So the AIB 3 billion euro is going to go into these type of things: Land Development Agency, Air Grid and Irish Water.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to give more money to people who've been given a fortune of money for various periods of time, none of which they have successfully spent. None of which they have successfully spent. How many houses have the LDA delivered? What has Irish Water done to bring water from the Shannon to Dublin? What have they done with all that money? So we're giving more money to people who have failed to spend the huge amount of money we've already given.
How do you invest in the infrastructure that you say needs investing in without doing it through those agencies?
We could change the actual... That's the problem. The problem is the execution, the implementation, the mechanisms we've put in place. We're just too busy writing checks. We're like a drunk with a checkbook at the moment. But we're not looking at the structural issues, and nobody's even talking about them. We're being deflected and distracted by this type of work. We're talking about things with no due respect to sectors like the food and bev business or tourism, and we're using the word industry after them. The housing industry, tourism industry, the actual industry, the actual people who produce the real money that produces this tax, as we've been talking about from the beginning, are a tiny number of people who actually produce the net, and we're not looking at that.
What would have convinced you that we were about to have that conversation or beginning to have it
today? It's a conversation that a lot of people have had. You've had it yourselves at the beginning, it not having a context. Your colleague Emmett was talking about that. I think he was using that word, that it's a context-free budget, that the context isn't there. So drunks with checks can write checks all night long, but unless we've got a structure, unless we've got a plan, unless we're a country that's planning to get itself into phenomenal debt that's going to produce yields from that debt in terms of increased productivity. Productivity and competitiveness are the game we have to be in. Mario Draghi's statement today about what he wants to do with the high-tech industries of Europe and centralise them all, and that small individual countries are going to have to make their sacrifices to get rid of those. We should be terrified that we're not preparing for that future in which we've no part to play.
The lack of context, as you put it, I mean, the context is an election, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, there is a context. And we're not going to appreciate the context.
But yeah, I'm going to stop hogging the mic. No government is going to get elected by talking about boring things like governance. You might as well say you're going to get people to watch paint dry. But that's the real issue.
So, Danny, do we just need to accept that kind of with an election looming and human nature being what it is, policy is always going to wash up on the rocks of politics?
I think Conor hits on something there, but just to give some context what he said, part of just even taking the water is the deficits that we allow build up over a decade with an increasing population to even just recover from the depreciation that was going on. So we basically took a fair bit of chunk of time off talking about austerity when it wasn't there. It's clear from the numbers it wasn't there. We allowed this narrative to go on for years, crying the poor mouth. And now as we try to get back out of this, there's the basic plumbing of energy, transport, water is what's needed now. So we can't stop on the basis. It does feel egregious when you get such overruns on the children's hospital and so on. But the real true cost of the children's hospital is the fact that it's not operating as a children's hospital for the last decade. You know, in time, we'll get over the cost. We don't regret. There's very few infrastructures we regret.
A bike shed, maybe.
Well, time will tell. It might be a tourist attraction.
At least there's bicycles in it.
It might be a tourist attraction at some point.
An OPW tour of Dublin. Maybe that's something. What do you suspect will be the fallout, Catherine, from government not, I was going to say, acquiescing to your demands, but your requests today?
Well, I think that a short-term view has been taken of tourism. And as I say, I don't really feel that we had visibility when consideration was given at Cabinet. Like when you look at the wider context specific to tourism at the moment, I mean, we have two major contextual issues that really need to be considered. So one is the passenger cap at Dublin Airport, which we already know is going to stifle demand at Dublin Airport. That's already been reported that routes are being scaled back for next year because that limit is going to be achieved very soon. So in light of potentially fewer international visitors coming, and the CSO reporting this week that the length of stay has been down this summer, losing us bed nights as people stay for short amounts of time. So knowing that those are outside of our control, surely measures that are within the gift of the government should have been considered at this time. And that is the sustaining of the tourism and hospitality businesses, particularly in the rural and regional locations, which are difficult to get to and which need those sustainable jobs going year round. I mean, visitor attractions are year round employers, 365 days a year. And I know that there was this mention of the €4,000 grant, which may be considered, like, our visitor attractions on average charge about a tenner a head coming in. So really you're looking at one extra visitor a day is the equivalent of that 4,000. So it's not a meaningful contribution. It's not going to change anything. And it's not really fit for purpose if it's designed as a business support.
There had been a kind of somebody earlier in the station, and apologies to whoever it was, because I can't remember who made the point, speaking with Andrea and Joe earlier, suggested that part of the rationale from a government point of view when it came to VAT and hospitality was that they wanted to keep it in the back pocket, were the economic tide to go out. That you don't want to kind of offer a leg up like that when the economy is running as hot as it currently is. That instead you put a few quid back into people's pockets, maybe they'll go out and spend a bit more money at the weekends. Danny would suggest that a lack of money wasn't the problem in most households up and down the country. But whatever reason, that they needed to keep the reduction VAT in the back pocket were a recession to loom in the future?
Well, I think at this moment in time, I mean, we're aware that the savings levels are high, and whether people got out of the habit of visiting restaurants, you know, spending their money in tourism and leisure activities during COVID, and we haven't yet recovered from that. The reality on the ground is that we do know that businesses are closing in hospitality, as has been reported by Adrian Cummins and by other colleagues in tourism and hospitality. And really, we want those injections of life to restart in the rural tourism economies particularly. They really need the help, and we don't want to leave them to languish. They all rely, they're interconnected, hotels, restaurants, visitor attractions, activity providers, self-catering accommodation. These are all interconnected.
Conor, we can't avoid the reality of elections, but kind of for the periods in between, is there a different way we should be managing the budget? And I don't mean kind of managing it from a fiscal point of view, but managing its announcement, managing the way decisions are made, so that it lends itself more to the type of stuff you're talking about, kind of long-term planning.
We're all part of the problem, if we're to be completely honest. We're turning it into bread and circuses here. This is the bread and this is the circus. We've turned it into an entertainment sport. I mean, there is a lack of a kind of a public debate about these types of things that are taking place. If we were in France, we'd have a television station running till 4 o'clock in the morning talking about this with people who could give the thing some kind of serious airing. We're not having that. We're not
watching that, though.
We are absent the existence of public intellectuals who could start to take those things apart and give a correct hierarchy to them, where we're putting money, again, I'm pointing the finger at Danny, to a very clearly thought out hierarchy between the things that actually lay the golden goose, the things that are supported and sustained. A huge amount of what we call industry in this country are lifestyles we choose to support.
Conor Skeen, columnist of the Sunday Independent. Danny McCoy, the CEO of IBEC, and Catherine Flanagan, who is a director with the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation and CEO of Visitor Experiences and Attractions. Thank you all very, very much for joining me.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.